you. What an amazing evening today. In the 9 a.m. Sunday morning service, Pastor Shala was a little disappointed that the front row was empty. We heard it and he was like talking about maybe people in the church didn't like him. So, you know, was that a great worship? Thank you guys for that and the outreach. You know, Pastor Vijay came and said, "Pastor, can you come?" I said, "No." We were just praying and meditating and believing God that all things are possible, right? And one beautiful thing in this year is to see a lot of people taking initiative. You know, Pastor doesn't have to be there all the time. God is there, right or wrong? So see different people with different gifts in the body of Christ being made manifested, and you can, you know, in the world they say you can do it, no? Right? Yeah, we can. All things can be done through Him that strengthens us. So it's a 3 more days to go. Thursday's MG Road. Yesterday we had about 50 plus people. Thursday's Koramangala. Saturday MG Road and Sunday Kamanali. Motivation for coming? Okay, awesome time. Father, bless our portion here today. And years ago, we went soul winning out on the street. Marina, myself, maybe one or two people. And just giving tracts in faith, visiting people's homes. And today we have the body go out in fullness. We have churches in this nation, Greater Grace churches in this nation. And we want to thank you for that today. I want to lift up specifically in prayer Pastor Ranjan, who had an accident in Nepal. And he needed to have a hip replacement, fractured ribs. But the doctors said now there's no need for any kind of surgery apart from rest. And a little bit of medical attention. And Father, we just pray that you will lead the doctors skillfully in his case, and just be with his wife, Father, and his family in the church, and the students and the missionaries in that place. We ask you bless. Cover us, Lord, this week with our health. We just pray the winter coming in and different changes in weather for people that will go out by faith. We pray you'll be with us. Thank you. Thank you for those that were led to you today. These days, the tracks that were given, the songs that were sung, the joy that was there. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't want the worship to end actually tonight. I just wish that they would keep on singing. It was very angelic. In the Gospels, in the first two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke, the messages that came to Joseph in Matthew 1, when the angel appeared to him and saying that Mary is with child, and asked him that his name shall be called Yeshua, Emmanuel, God with us, and his name will be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from his sins. I wonder if Joseph really understood what it meant, really from the viewpoint of what was communicated in the Old Testament. He did, I'm sure he did. Then when the angel came to Mary and communicated, 1 Chronicles chapter 17 verses 11 to 14, if you read it, Everything is mentioned about David's son Solomon going to inherit what David had accumulated, and that he would build the temple and that he will sit on the throne. But the words that were spoken to Mary were added, that he shall be called the son of the highest, was not mentioned there. That is what the angel communicated to Mary. These undertakings were beyond the scope of their understanding. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. There was an expectation. He was waiting for it. You know, Joseph didn't go to sleep that night expecting the angel to appear to him in a dream. No? Do we go to sleep at night waiting to receive a revelation from heaven? No. Mary that day was not expecting that greeting. But there were observations that were made in relationship to prophecies that were revealed and signs that were given that caused people to live in anticipation, such as the Magi that came from the east. They saw the star and they came. There is an observation that was made in the light of that which was revealed, and they connected the sign with the scriptures. And they made a decision to come to Jerusalem because they believed that the star was very symbolic of someone of royalty that was born. And they came to visit the person. And when they came to Israel from the east, there was a great welcoming committee there, no? Huh? Yes or no? No, it's very interesting. When I went to Bible school at the airport, there were about 15 to 20 people, and I was leaving to go to Bible college. It was interesting when I left to go to the gates, people thought that the 20 people were going and I had come to see them off. You know, like I was like a tour guide or something, and you know, I'm like this whole group had come, and it was interesting. And people were a little bit shocked. They were looking back, and I kind of was a little bit, you know, my stock went up at that time. 20 people, one guy going in. Usually 20 people go in, one guy comes to leave them. Maybe he's the bus driver or something. You know, they didn't have time to put on the Christmas tree, the stars and the decorations and the lights. It's not that there was an anticipation, a preparation in that sense. It was just another ordinary routine day, but it was a very specific day. It was the hope of Israel that was going to be unveiled. It was a day of visitation. It was the day where the Savior was to be born. The angel said, glory to God in the highest. The shepherds were excited. They went exactly and saw things like it was told to them. People that waited in anticipation, Anna and Simeon, saw something with their eyes that they wanted to behold. Zechariah prayed that he would not be able to speak so that he would never have to listen to what other people had to say. And God answered his prayer, specifically if it was with Elizabeth. He had to do all the hearing and she would have to do all the speaking. But I thought about all these events. They were all personal reflections to those that had a relationship with God. You know, to those that had a relationship with God, they were all personal reflections. They must have wondered what sort of encounter this was. Imagine that, an unusual dream, a visitation with a messenger of the Lord. The Holy Spirit communicating something very specifically in the temple that day of all days when Christ cried on that day when he was brought into the temple. Simeon distinctly discerned that voice. If Simeon was able to discern the cry of Christ in the temple, how much should God's people who are his sheep be in a place where they are in tune to his voice? In John chapter 10, verse 4. Don't get so caught up in this Christmas season where you are having such a wonderful time and singing and all that, you miss the voice of God. It's also important. So there was, number one, revelation given. Number two, there was the impossibility of such a supernatural event being perceived from human viewpoint, that a woman, a virgin, will bear a son, spoken of in chapter 7, verse 14 of the book of Isaiah. There was a visitation in the holy place. Zechariah was amazed at what he was witnessing. He was actually having a conversation. There were those that were already told what would happen, but they were just waiting for the right time. There were shepherds in Israel that were there, nomadic life, and they had been given a unique message to go and see something and behold something that would change their lives forever. What were they doing? They were tenders. They were tending the flock. And sometimes these flocks would be used for the sacrifice. So it was very interesting that they would have a message that came to them that would reveal to them how important it was for them to shepherd these flocks, because there is one going to come who is going to shepherd Israel. But there is something unique also, and that is, whenever there is the manifestation of Christ, there is also the retaliation of the Antichrist. Right from the book of Genesis, the beginning of the book, right till the end of it, apart from a 1,000-year period and a 2-chapter period in Genesis 1 and 2, Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, there is no adversary in these 4 chapters. In Genesis 1 and 2, he is there, but he has not yet entered into the scene. He will enter into the scene in chapter 3. But he is not there in Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22. In Genesis 1 and 2, he is there, but he has not entered into the scene. In 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation, he has already been cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire, so he can never ever trouble God's people anymore. We do not know what will happen in the eternal state. That's a mystery. But think of this. The moment the Magi entered into the scene and they were led by the star and they wanted to find out the exact place where Christ was born, and they made it known to Herod, Herod was troubled and all Israel with him. Very inconsistent with the other testimonies. The spirit of the Antichrist always brings in the spirit of the Antichrist, always brings in this kind of a reaction, because it is being contested to the point of being overthrown. What is it? It is being contested to the point of being. There was going to be a real conflict now, and these, the two kingdoms were constantly in conflict from the time Satan fell in heaven. From the time man was created and man fell in the Garden of Eden, there was a conflict that began in the kingdoms. And now there was the conflict that was going to engage itself in a way that is foreign to our thinking. And it is going to be addressed directly to the second person of the Trinity. In the Old Testament, he was superintending the battles of Israel. So he was called the Lord of the Hosts, the captain of the Lord of the Hosts. He was the Lord of the Hosts. He was superintending the battles of Israel as the second person in the Trinity, because that was the race through which he will come. But in the New Testament, now he is come right there, and he's being born right there as a man, then he will be engaged in direct confrontation in manners that is very foreign to our understanding and thinking. For it is the purpose of humility to bring down the spirit of pride. It is the purpose of humility to bring down the spirit of pride. So Jesus said, if you humble yourself before God, you will be lifted up. It is the spirit of humility that brings down the spirit of pride. Very interesting. You know, Pastor Shala gave this illustration. I thought it was unique. He has the gift to illustrate something. He said, usually when the opponent is a weak person, the stronger man will say, okay, let me take you on with one hand bound. Let this contest be an even contest. Or sometimes you can even bind one of your legs, because you are stronger than the opponent. In Jesus' case, Jesus did not say to the devil, in an analogy, I will take you on with my one hand tied. Jesus took on the devil with both his hands tied. If you're in a ring, in a boxing match, and your opponent has gloves inside and it comes to you, and you are confident of winning, you know, with both your hands tied, because there's a sniper out on the roof somewhere that's going to take him out. That's a whole different story. But this is exactly what Jesus did. In his moment of vulnerability, as an infant, that's a moment of vulnerability. Imagine this in God, that the Son of God has been is a babe in a manger, and the moment of vulnerability is not viewed by God as a situation of panic. The moment of vulnerability is not viewed as a situation of panic, because he has communicated to them in the same way as he communicated to them before of how all these things will take place. God's manner of communication did not change. He did not send a legion there and say, take my son, get him out of here, and take him to... He didn't say that. God is not in panic mode when there is evil that is engaged against his people. He is not in panic mode, and the manner of his communication, the manner of his dealings may differ, but his manner of his communication remains the same. He is still open. He is still available to the ones who are willing to hear. That's a very important point. So he warns he warns Joseph in a dream that Herod is after, this is what he's going to do. I want you to take Jesus out and flee to Egypt. So Hosea 11:1 says, out of Egypt I've called forth my son. There are prophetic messages that have been fulfilled exactly in the scriptures. He warns the Magi, don't return by that way again, and the Magi do not come by that way again. It's not some huge delegation that he basically sends to circumvent or ordain a way by which. No, it's simple. Communication to the one that has ears that is willing to hear. I'll tell you today, people want some kind of a lightning to strike, or they're looking for some great sign to happen in order for them to be in communication with God. And God is still speaking to them in the still small voice. But there's so much of wax in the ears that we need to go and get it out. We need to go to the ENT person, you know. When I came from Chicalinta the last time, I waxed in my ears and it was hurting me right through the day. I was days over there. When I came back, it was unbearable. So I went to the ENT person and he said, I have two options here. I'll take it out right now or I'll give you drops. In my mind, I was about to say, the drops would be fine because, you know, it would soften the... Then he said, you know, on the other hand, let's try. Try? You're not going to put your finger in, you know. He removed his wonderful stainless steel, you know, and he's kind of looking at my ear, you know. It's not like a plucking mango from the tree or something, no? I'm going to be at the other, and he kind of did it, but he just put something inside, and the pain that I would have to bear with him putting that thing inside, to me, was much more bearable than the pain that I would have to bear if the wax was still in. Listen to this. The pleasure that God gets at the expense of the pain that we go through is much greater than the animosity with which the devil comes against us. As he is permitted by God in the plan. You know why? Because God's people hear his voice. And they are not somebody, they are not just people that have a suffering complex. They are people that understand that there is a battle going on, that we are here to engage in something that is unique and supernatural. By sight it might seem impossible, but if we are available to listen to what God has to say, the victory is ours for the making and the taking. It's amazing. So I'll close. I had a different message tonight, all packed here on the Redeemer, but when the worship started, the songs were sung, God said, speak your heart out, which means you also have to study, by the way. Sometimes people get up and they say, no, Pastor, I went to the young people, I went to the pulpit, and God suddenly said, change the message. And they really changed the message. They spoke from the 67th book of the Bible. There is number one, the seed, Genesis 3:15. Then there is the son in Isaiah 7:14. And then there is the Savior in Isaiah 43, verse 3. What is it? There is the seed. The woman, the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. Shall crush the head of the... Every time the seed is in conflict with the serpent in the scriptures, there is always destruction that is mentioned in relationship to the serpent. I love that in the Bible. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he would weaken the works of the devil. The seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the woman. Number two, Isaiah 7:14. Unto us a... Who's born? Child is born. No, son is not born. Son is given. And his name shall be called I just saw two people sleeping. I'm closing. I just have. So, his name will be called Emmanuel. What does that mean, Emmanuel? It is not. It is. It doesn't meaning. It is not just God with us. It has to do with not the presence of God being with us. It is a word that relates to the incarnation of the Son. God is with us here today. He's in this room today. 1 Corinthians 3:16. He's in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. He's in us. He's in this room. He's omnipresent. Emmanuel is not just God with us. Emmanuel is the. When his name shall be called Emmanuel. He will save his people from his sins. Which means what? Incarnation. Joseph, it was very clear to Joseph. It's not just God's presence. You know, Moses says, God, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going to go. No, that is not it. It is God dwelling among men. The seed, the Son. And therefore, when the Son of God was on the earth, he was engaged in conflict. He prepared himself in Isaiah 50, and he knew that he was going to face conflict. So it was not that Jesus Christ was never ever taken unawares of the conflict that would come against him, whether it was in direct opposition or whether it was very subtly in an indirect manner. As Peter is saying, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, and you will never go to the cross. And Jesus addresses it. No, Jesus addressed it. He was able to discern. The seed, the Son, and the third word is what? Yeah. The word for Savior is different from the word Redeemer. Okay, the word for Savior in the Hebrew is different from the word Redeemer. The word for Savior is the word Y-A-S-H-A, and it has a number of meanings, to deliver from different situations, etc. But when the word Redeemer is mentioned, it means that somebody is come into my bloodline to deliver me from the bondage I am in as a person. In the Old Testament, if a Jew became poor and he mortgaged his home for a loan, he took the money and his home was owned by somebody else within the Jewish brethren. So a kinsman, a redeemer would come in that is related to him, and he could buy back the house to restore the property so it remained in the family bloodline. It related to, number one, property. Number two, it related to if you sold yourself as a slave now to the other person because you were so poor, the person would get the money, the need, and he would be sold as a slave, and someone had the ability to come in the bloodline and give the money back to buy him back. This word Redeemer is very crucial because it meant that God had to enter into Israel's stock. So he is of the seed of Abraham, and he is the son of what? David. In the Bible, Jesus, God is telling Abraham, don't say in Genesis 15:3, Eliezer is my apparent heir. Don't say that. Don't say in chapter 17, verse 18, oh, that Ishmael will live before me. No. But one that is born of you, your seed in Genesis chapter 19, which is specifically mentioned in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. That seed was Isaac in Genesis 6:19, but in Galatians 3, it is Christ. Christ. And when it came to Mary, that seed was none other than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that seed going to do? She was not told that he will save his people from his sins, although she understood what it meant that he will be the Savior in Luke 1:47-48. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Had rejoiced, past tense. My soul magnifies, present tense. She was already born again, and though she was manifesting the virtues of a life that was already born again. She recognized that her son, the one to be born of her, through her womb, was also going to be her Messiah. So here we have the seed, the son, and the what? Savior. Prophetically given by God to us in the Old Testament. Now, the message is over, but I have to write a postscript here. In Genesis 3, God permitted a woman and the man associating with her to bring in the fall. Bring in the fall. It was not God's perfect will, it was God's permissible. So Satan used an instrument based upon his research. And he went to the weaker vessel of 1 Peter 3 and he used the woman in his plan to bring about the fall. In Luke chapter 1, God used another woman as an instrument to bring about the defeat of the devil. Understand that? The serpent approached the woman in the garden and through the woman accomplished his plan to bring the human race into ruin. God, on the other hand, used another woman and communicated to her a plan by which he would establish a perfect government on the earth. You understand that? We can either allow experientially ourselves to be communicated by a kingdom which is actually already defeated. What did I say? The devil's kingdom cannot communicate to us anything that is victorious. It can only communicate to us something that can reinforce the fall, even though it might present it to us from the viewpoint of need and self-preservation. It can only result in things related to the fall, because his nature, that he's a liar in John 8:44, has not changed. But when God communicates and we listen to what he says, that message that he gives us and communicates it to us always will bring in the destruction of the kingdom of darkness. And so the believer today has to make a decision how he is going to engage himself in his life. In the last few days when we went out evangelizing and gave tracts, and those of you that stayed back prayed, how many parties were in heaven? How many parties, not BJP, Congress? I mean, how many, you know? Think about it. How many strongholds are taken by the devil and how many of them are actually dethroned? We will never know unless we go to heaven. But we have an opportunity in time to be involved and be engaged and to recognize that no matter what the vulnerability is, the level of vulnerability, the communication is there and the provision is there from God in the same manner as it was always there. So when Jesus is confronted and is going to the cross, he is saying, if need be, my Father can send down a legion of angels. Now in 2 Kings 6, one angel, no, 2 Kings 6, yes. One angel took out 185 Assyrians. Yeah, 1,85,000. So 1,85,000 Assyrians. One angel. Now, if you get 12 legions, which is one legion is 6,000, for one man, Judas Iscariot, that'll be terrible. He says, "No, the angel ministered unto me. Jesus says, "I don't need all this to happen to defend myself. It is my obedience in 5:8 of Hebrews to my Father through the cross, my area of vulnerability, that will actually slay the enemy." I will be slain, Jesus is saying in Hebrews 2:14, but in me being slain, he's actually going to be defeated. So through death, he destroyed him that had power over death, that is the devil. What happens to us is we want God to send mega reinforcements, and we are looking for the battle tank to come and all these things, and we forget about the voice that is already spoken to us. And these people in the New Testament were very, very specific in terms of their hearing. Very specific. And their obedience, their obedience was channeled through how they, what? Heard. You know, this is where battles are either won or lost. Where it is? By how you are going to hear from God. Amazing. So, the serpent used Eve as an instrument to bring God's entire plan for the human race to ruination. God used Mary, another woman, a virgin, through which the entire plan of redemption would be unfolded through her. It's amazing. You know, God looks and says, Satan made Eve the victim. And it is through Mary and the redemption, Eve received her ultimate deliverance through the cross eventually that would come. So God has a marvelous way by which he works beyond our capacity to think in the book of Ephesians chapter 3:20. He does. I'm not expecting things that are possible. I'm expecting things that are beyond what I'm able to ask or think. Isn't that amazing? In Jayanagar, how many people showed up? 85 people ate. Okay, Father, you heard this, these numbers here. So we thank you for this evening and the worship and the singing and your faithfulness in our lives, and to recognize there is one factor that is so prevalent, and it is for us not to be moved or removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, we don't need to get complex, to get technical, sophisticated. Thank you for all the mechanization and even sending the latest ISRO satellite into space for our military. We thank you for all that. But thank you that in 2 Corinthians 11, it says, don't be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. Our vulnerability in this life is actually our potential for victory. Thank you for revealing it to us through the word, and help us to live in simplicity in our obedience to you, recognizing that you are our all in all in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.